What's up, everybody? I'm Casey Smith, and it is officially NFL Draft Day, and that means it's time for the Barstool Sports Draft Day Special with Johnny Manziel, yours truly, and his agent, Eric Burkhart. Now, Eric represented Johnny back in 2014, still represents him today, and has some guys that will be going off the board tonight as well. Today, we talk all about Johnny's experiences when he was going through this process. They play a little game of the guys who are currently getting drafted, who's going to go and who's not. We take an in-depth look at the quarterback class for 2018. And the very end of the podcast is something you really don't want to miss. Johnny tells a pretty funny story about one Dave Portnoy. Everything coming to you hot right now on Barstool Sports. Johnny Manziel and his agent, Eric Burkhart. And you guys have an interesting relationship. Last time we talked, you guys kind of talked shit to each other a little bit. So you're going to play nice, fellas? Are we going to do that on NFL Draft Day? Johnny's shaking his head no.
You want to call a truce for the day?
It's Draft Day, bro. Let's be nice today.
Bad memories on Draft Day. You screwed me.
You have bad memories? Please explain,
always
Johnny.
Always the agent's fault.
It's 100% the agent's fault. I was supposed to be the first pick in the draft. Eric would have done his job.
Eric, would you like to give a rebuttal to that?
Yes, if he did his job and did everything I said, he would have been the number one pick of the draft. Taking his shirt off at a private golf club owned by Steve McNair a couple weeks before the draft kind of eliminated that possibility. That's a whole other story.
Oh, that's all speculation.
All speculation. So we're going to put the truce together for the draft day, but we're going to go back to that. So you say if he would have done everything you ask him to do, that he would have been the number one overall pick. But really, when you get down to it, like this day 4 years ago for you guys, what were your thoughts when you woke up? Like, did you expect to go top five? Did you have any idea what this day was going to be like for you guys?
Through the whole process, I was just tired. All the stuff you do in New York, everything, but I don't think we had really had any idea. You know, we felt like we had a little bit of a floor where it was going to be our low point, but we didn't know. Like there is this year, you know, there's some teams that were in our year that looked like they needed a quarterback on paper. A lot of them. That was what me and Eric talked about at the beginning of the draft. Was there's a lot of quarterback needy teams. There was like Oakland. There was Minnesota. There was Tampa Bay that didn't have a quarterback. There was a lot of teams like that we didn't know which direction they were going to go. And when it came down to it on draft day, they all went. Most of them went defensive. I know St. Louis, now the Rams, now at the time, they were another team that we felt, you know, might have a chance to go to. But when it all came down to it and we walk into the draft and we're sitting there at the table, me and EB kind of look at each other and have no fucking idea what's going on.
Agree. I mean, and I felt like we were pretty prepared. I mean, we talked about all the scenarios and what could happen and how all of his meetings and private workouts went with every single team and all of that. You know, and some we felt a little bit better than others. And, you know, but you never really know when you walk into that draft room how it's going to shake out. And you know, part of my job is preparing those expectations. And so that being said, it's never easy when a guy falls like that, especially with a guy like Johnny, who's the best I've ever seen at the position do it. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of off the field stuff going on and speculation, but he could have been a top 10 pick. And, you know, I was still at the end of the day very proud, as Johnny knew the first time we sat down and made our business plan. Like, look, our goal is to be a first-round draft pick.
I hate to put you on blast here, Eric, but the first time you and I talked, you told me that you didn't think Johnny was very good the first time you saw him play. So let's go back that way. Like, you saw him play at A&M, and you're like, who the hell is this guy? And then you fast-forward to the draft, and you're thinking that he could have potentially been a top pick. Where did that change?
So I'm out there the first week of spring practice. Johnny's in, like, you know, the red jersey. You can't touch him, and he's quote-unquote competing at the time with Jameel Showers, who was a really talented kid. Showers is out there just dropping dimes. I mean, boom, 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 looking really good, running the offense. Then Johnny's turn gets up, and Johnny's out there running around. They're blowing the play dead because you can't even touch the quarterback. And I remember Cliff after practice being like, what'd you think? And I was just like, dude, that was terrible. Like, you've got to go with Showers. Like, that's the best guy you've ever seen. He's like, just wait, man, just wait. Wait till the lights come on. This is a cat that when the lights come on, and I was like, all right, man, you've lost your damn mind. And then, but to answer your question, it was probably three games into that season. I started seeing it, and it started clicking and slowing down, I think, for Johnny a little bit too, you know, just getting reps. And before long, I was like, damn, that dude's special. Just some of the things he can do.
Johnny, does that sound about right? Every time he starts talking, you have this look on your face, like you kind of want to talk shit to him, but you don't know if you're going to or not. I just like this relationship is fun watching it play out right in front of me.
Well, we made a truce at the beginning of this, so I guess I have to abide by that. Nevertheless, I think it's really funny that he thought I sucked, and then less than a year later, I'm at his house. I'm signing papers for him to be my agent. I think it's just a funny little thing by that man.
Obviously, talking about you and Johnny's relationship causes internet problems, and I don't feel like dealing with that shit again. So,
well, there's a great story though that you asked about last night that like I will always remember. Remember we did the pre-draft dinner, Johnny had this unbelievable dinner at like Mr. Chow in New York. We had like the downtown VIP or the underground like bunker like secret room by the like underneath the dining room. And some like it was an unbelievable dinner. Like dudes came to this like it was crazy. And I'll never forget when we left. There were like three or four celebrities in there. And they all like came up to Johnny. Like as we were walking out, they like would get up off of their table and just wanted to talk to Johnny. And that one I was like, wow, he's not even in the NFL yet. He's gonna get drafted tomorrow. And who was that actor at the time who was like a really big deal, but a young like party type kid?
It was definitely Zac Efron. And as soon as we walk out,
we
bump into each other.
Casual. Zac
we
Efron.
Bump into each other, like we're each other. It was kind of the
so this is Zac Efron like
pointing to me and I'm pointing at him and we're like all my people, everybody knew. His people grab him and like throw him into the car right away, and then Maverick and them like completely separate me and they're like, these are two people who do not need to meet.
I don't know. That would have been quite the bromance, like Zac Efron and Johnny Manziel. Like, this is what the people probably wanted. And Eric, you didn't allow it to happen.
We work out. We work out at the same gym now.
So, like, you talk about the hype too, because obviously at this point, like Johnny was super hyped going into it. The media, you've got celebrities coming up to him. So, anytime going into the draft, what advice do you give clients? I mean, Johnny's going to be different, right? Because he was the first social media college football star. It was on the cover of Time magazine. So, it's not always going to be to that level.
Yeah, and every guy's very different. We have a very specific marketing and PR plan for every guy, depending on who they are, what they're about, who our marketing partners are at the time, and what the expectations are there. So, like I said, with Johnny, we like really, really scaled it down. I mean, we're getting millions of dollars of offers every week in terms of like, I mean, I remember you remember the like $3 million vape deal, and we're like $3 million, like let's get that bag, and then it was like, dude, we're not doing a vape deal, like right before the draft, and like. There were things like that, like all the time. And so I guess for every guy, Casey, it's like really different how you're going about that.
Eric's plan through that and what he's saying that I didn't do at the time, that I was definitely too, I don't know if it was prideful or stubborn or whatever it is, but it was, you have to kiss a lot of ass during this process. Like, and I just wasn't where I was at the point in time. I was like, he would be like, send this text to this guy or do this and do that. And I was always no, like, Eric, come on, like, get real. And then sure enough, we're sitting there, 19 pick, 18, like 20, 21, like the picks are going and going and going. And then sure enough, we're sitting at 22 and we're starting to hear some rumblings and some teams are trying to trade up and come get me. And I was sending texts like they were going out of style, like, fucking come draft me. I've been in this room for too long. Get me out of here.
Everything I've been telling you to do for a month. And I'm just sitting there like, told you. Should have sent that text a month ago. And he's like, who can I text now? And I'm just shoveling numbers and we're texting coaches from the war room. And I still laugh about that with a few of the coaches I see at the combine every year. But as I tell Johnny, and he knows now years later, like, yes, you can call it ass kissing if you're a young athlete who's like had everything laid out for you. But at the end of the day, that's just called business, right, Casey? I mean, that's in every business.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely business, but being as young as Johnny was or a lot of these guys that are getting drafted, like, you've never had to do that. Like, me being in my late 20s, I'm like, yeah, like, that's business. I know that ass-kissing and business might collide, but at the same time, you have to do it. But at that age, Johnny, I'd assume you're sitting there like, I've been given everything. I'm the best thing that's ever happened to Texas A&M. Why the fuck do I need to send a text message to somebody? They should be texting me.
Yeah, and like I said, there was a lot of teams. When we looked at the draft, there were only so many quarterbacks who we felt like, now looking back at the guys who were in our class that are getting deals and are bouncing around, like Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, guys that went later that obviously are really good players. You know, at the point in time, there wasn't like a ton of quarterbacks in our draft class that we felt like, it felt like the teams that needed quarterbacks outweighed the quarterbacks that were in the class, it looked like a little bit. So it was kind of like, you're looking at it as almost like somebody's going to reach for a quarterback, because you just look at their roster and what they have, and they just don't have one. That was just the way that – that was a big decision in me coming out for the draft, was like, all right, who are the top guys? How many teams do we think realistically in the first two rounds need quarterback? And there were more teams that needed a quarterback than there were actually worthy first, second, third round picks of quarterbacks in my draft class for sure. So it was almost like, you know, it was bound to happen. It was inevitable. I mean, Cleveland didn't really have a quarterback at all, and they had two picks in the first round. And I know Jacksonville didn't have a quarterback, and they ended up taking Bortles. I know Oakland that year ended up taking a quarterback in the second. Minnesota ended up taking Teddy at the end of the first round. Like, there was a lot of teams. Tampa Bay ended up not getting a quarterback that year, but got one next year. So there was way more teams that needed one than there were guys, for sure.
Well, and it seems like this year that might be switched, right? Like, there's a super quarterback heavy draft class, and there's teams that need quarterbacks, but maybe not as many as when you were there. And you talk about Cleveland, they're still looking for their quarterback, and they have two picks in the top five. Who do you think they go after of these guys that are available?
I mean, from everything I've heard, and I called Eric, and me and Eric always talk about the draft stuff. So when I hear stuff like that, he hears a lot more than I ever would. You know, he's in it. He's got a guy that's going to be a top five pick, so he's hearing what's going on at the top. I've heard that Darnold is going to go number one. I think the two guys that I like the most in this class, I think Darnold can be really good. I also think Josh Allen has a lot of potential. I go back. I worked out with him last year. I didn't know who he was. I just started working out. I'm going to throw with him, and I'm just watching this guy. Like, you know, there's been very few guys that I've seen that can actually, like, throw the ball the way that he does. He's big. He can run. When I saw his highlight tape, a majority of his tape was him, like, running and being able to move and do stuff like that, which I didn't expect him to be able to move like that for how big he is. So I think he has the most upside. I think it would be better for him to get in a situation like New York at number three, because I know what kind of guy Josh McCown is. I know how far he helped me come along as a young guy. If you get somebody like that who you're saying, okay, we are paying Josh McCown, whatever it is, $10 million this year, he's probably going to be your guy. Like, for a guy to come in and be a rookie, like, you really have to know your stuff in college, and I don't know if Josh is that guy. I know Josh Rosen is, from a mental standpoint. I've heard everything from him going to film, to defenses, to all that. The people he were with at UCLA really brought him up to a different level on that. So I've heard, like, for him, as far as, like, on a whiteboard doing X's and O's football stuff, that Rosen is head and shoulders, like, above the rest of the class. But, you know, and then you look at, you have Baker and you have Lamar. I mean, I think it's pretty solid. You know, there always is, as there is with any class before. You think all these guys can be great and go on to be Hall of Famers. But when it comes down to it, realistically, maybe one, maybe two of these guys, like, really go on to be a Pro Bowl caliber, like, player. That's just the way that it goes almost every year. I wish all of them nothing but the best, but that's just how it goes. It's all about the right situation, the right quarterback that you have in your room. So whoever ends up going to New York, you know, is going to be in really good hands with Josh McCown, that's for sure.
That's a really good point, Johnny. You know who my guy is in this class. Like, I don't even think it's close. And I'm not saying – so there's three different things, right, Casey? There's what do I think is going to happen? What am I hearing is going to happen? And then what would I do, right? And so, I mean, in terms of the quarterbacks, I think the best quarterback in this class, I've said this to a lot of people in the league, is Lamar Jackson. Like, I just – like, no one's talking about him. Like, the kid is special. He really is. He can do things in this class none of these other guys can. And I just look at, when I break all of these guys down, and I do, and I talk to them with my quarterback guys league, some of my coaches that are quarterback guys that played in the league, and, you know, and then with guys like Johnny and some of our other starting quarterbacks in the league. I mean, Lamar Jackson, I have yet to meet a player who watches this guy and goes, oh my God, he's special. Like, he can sling it. He's got a quick release. And I mean, just what he brings you he had 50 rushing touchdowns. I think I saw a crazy stat where Lamar Jackson had 33 more runs of 10 or more yards than any other player in the country. Any running back, Saquon Barkley, 33 more, not 33 total, than the next guy. And I just think this is a third down league. And I'm looking at, no hate to the other guys, but I'm looking at Josh Allen completing 56% of his throws at Wyoming. You know, and in those throws, he's averaging like 6.7 yards an attempt. And again, that's not hate at all, because stats, you can tell a lot of different stories, but – man, give me Lamar Jackson. Like, are you serious in terms of a quarterback? And then what I
think, Eric, can he throw? Eric, can he throw like a 10 to 12 yard speed out from the left, from the left hash all the way to the right sideline? Like, consistently every time, can he drop back on a five-step play and throw a seam ball?
Well, his completion percentage was 60% playing a pro-style offense for Bobby Petrino, which these other guys said. Who Bobby Petrino, I've had guys that coach with him, he's on his fucking ass. He's a no-nonsense, pro-set, NFL guy. Lamar did that. Why is nobody talking about that? Every other year,
that's the only question incredible. I have.
I think the question I have is,
can he, like, consistently, like, make every throw that you need to make? And I get it, you don't have to do it. Like, you know, you can always continue to work. If there's one thing he can do, and that's work on his mechanics and work on accuracy, that's something you can improve at. Like, as far as, like, him as being the most explosive person in this entire draft, yeah, I would say he is more explosive, shifty, quick twitch, faster than almost anyone in this draft. I think he's more explosive of a player, a big chunk, big play player than even Saquon is. Like, hands down, I think he's that player in the draft. I look and see what you're saying about Josh Allen. Like Josh Allen, like, I went back and watched some of those games. Like, I don't think the guys that he had around him compared from his 2 years ago to last year, I think his talent level that he had there, like, it's going to be harder to get some guys in Wyoming that can go out, and you got to run routes. It takes 11 people, like, no matter how, where you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but if you play, okay,
if
you,
on the team.
I feel that. But if you play that game, then he also doesn't have ACC rushers coming at him, like Bradley Chubb, who Lamar is, like, he's got DNs from Wyoming Conference 2 coming at him. And he's got, you know what I'm saying? So, like, talent level goes across the board. That's competition. That's your skill guys. But the corner can't cover me, who's playing Wyoming either. So it's like, no hate at all. Like, I think Josh Allen's a special talent as well. You hit on a keyword earlier with Lamar. You said consistency. Can he consistently do that? That's the question with everybody coming in the draft, right? And so I think where coaching comes in. I think you get him with a guy like Sean Payton. You get him with a guy like Josh McDaniels. Like, good coaches are going to make him do things consistently.
There's so many different types of quarterbacks that are going to be available. And you talk about Lamar Jackson, and I covered Lamar when he was at Louisville, when I was working for ESPN, when he first got the starting job. And I remember, hate to brag here, but I remember saying, this kid's going to win the Heisman, because he's like watching a video game. And then you hear people saying, before the draft even gets close, that he should maybe try to be a wide receiver. And it's like asinine to me. It's like, okay, he won the Heisman Trophy. He's one of the best college quarterbacks for 2 years. But he should switch to wide receiver. Johnny, I mean, I know there are a lot of times people said you might need to switch positions. That's crazy, right?
That's all bullshit. That's just somebody, like, throwing that out there because, listen, Lamar still came out a year early. Lamar could have gone back to school and broke every quarterback rushing record and every, like, quarterback record of all time, except, like, Case Keenum or, like, a passing record like that. But for the most part, like, listen, here's the thing about Lamar. The year he won the Heisman, I was there. I went in the suite after he won. We couldn't have had more fun with, like, his entire family, his mom, like him. Like, we had so much fun. He's so nice. So when I saw that he was, like, wasn't signing with an agent and all the stuff that's went on, like, I saw some rumblings that, like, maybe he couldn't, like, some teams were trying to get a hold of him and they couldn't because he doesn't have a normal, like, agent and things were a little bit different. I was okay with that because once you get a chance to really know him and your chance to be around him, like, he is as solid a dude as they come. He's not some guy from the hood that, like, doesn't have smarts or, like, isn't aware of his situation. Like, he is very aware of his situation. He is very nice, very polite. Couldn't have been better to me. Like, we had a lot of fun. So everything else that they're saying is just people not believing in him like he believes in himself. Like, he has all the confidence in the world that he's going to go and be a quarterback and he's going to play for a long time and he's going to, you know, do really well. But that's just other people, like, you know, just looking at the situation.
Let me jump on that point, Johnny, the no agent thing. Obviously, I disagree, and I think he's at a serious disadvantage going into the draft without an agent for a lot of reasons. And I actually –
Coming from an agent.
yeah. No, a little bias there.
Let me give you an example. You talked about the guy that's leading the cheerleading, who's a former executive in this league, talking about Lamar Jackson should switch over. The head dude that's doing that, and these are all the behind-the-scenes things that happen in every business, especially in the small NFL. Guess what? He's been a flag bearer for Sam Darnold and Josh Allen's agency for going on 20 years now. So that's not a coincidence. So when the head guy that's going, Lamar needs to play, and he's a respected executive now in the media, and he's coming out there and saying that, I think there's more to that. Because the first thing I think is, that's fucking crazy. Lamar Jackson is a quarterback. There's no question about that. And then you look at who's saying it, and you go, he's best friends with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold's agent. Like little things like that in the agent world that don't come across in a meeting. It's not about a marketing deal. Little advocation for your clients through the process. I do think, why aren't we talking about Lamar Jackson in the top four? Like in the top five, the top six, we're like, he may go 15, 16. Like that dude should be talked about at the very top of this draft. Why isn't it? Because no one's advocating for him, among other reasons. But, and part of that is the hate that's come on the kid for, in my opinion, no reason.
Well, when you talk about the hate, too, I mean, another guy that's very polarizing, and Johnny, you know how this feels, is Baker Mayfield. Like, when you look at this kid and he won a Heisman Trophy, you know, did a lot of great things in college, but there's still kind of that hate on the side of, well, is he going to be a bust? What is he compared to? And you hear, like, Drew Brees comparisons because of his size. You hear Russell Wilson, and then people are like, well, he's just like Johnny Manziel. What do you say to that? Is this true? Are you guys the same guy?
I don't know him enough to be able to say that. And listen, anything that I say on this topic has been like a lightning rod situation. And, you know, I maybe saw some of the things he said, like some of the stuff that comes out. Like, listen, he's doing what he has to do right now to try and separate himself from anything bad. So I completely understand it. When people lump him in with me, look, sitting here today, I haven't had a very good NFL career. Like, it's been a struggle for me. You know, all the off the field stuff that happened. He's trying to separate himself as far away from all that as he possibly can. And I get it. And maybe I took it a little bit to heart, like when it first started, and you know what, I'm looking at it like, you know what, him and his agent, the people that are in his corner are trying to do whatever they can do to get this kid drafted as high as possible, no matter what's really said for that. And so I don't know. Listen, he got in a little bit of trouble last year. That's just part of being in college. Like, when you're in college, what mostly any quarterback that's on any campus is the man on campus. They're going to go out. They're going to have some drinks. And one night you're going to drink too much and something's going to happen that shouldn't have happened. Like, it's just the way that things goes. But, like, the antics that were, like, on the field versus Kansas and all that, like, listen, when I'm between the lines and, like, this happened, like, even in the spring league, like, when I'm between the lines and somebody says something to me and I don't like it, I'm going to let you fucking know every single word about it for the rest of the game. Like, that's just how I am. If it's something off the field, like, that's different. But the on-the-field stuff, I have no problem with, because, like, emotions get flowing. You're trying to win a game that you don't get to go back and replay. There is no mulligan. There is no redo. Like, you get this chance to go out and play your best, and that is what it is. So if somebody's trying to chirp him, it was like me my second year. When I came back around, I'd won the Heisman as a freshman. Like, everybody on the other side of the field was gunning for me 100%. And that's okay. But sometimes, no matter how good things are going, no matter how bad, like, sometimes things get to you. And that's what happened in that Kansas game. Like, they weren't blowing them out 70-0 after the first quarter like they felt like they should have been. They had some struggles here and there. So it gets a little frustrating. But on the field, between the lines, it's fair game. As long as you're not doing anything cheap to try and hurt somebody else, like, I could care. The wait till you get to the NFL field and start hearing the shit talking that goes on that field, because it's fucking pre-K. Like, college is pre-K compared to what you're about to hear with the grown men that are coming in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Baker, he's a real, real interesting one. Man, first of all, ton of respect for the kid. I've got a bunch of guys. I went to Texas Tech for undergrad. I've got coaches there. I've got, you know, six Texas Tech dudes in the NFL who are his former teammates. They all love Baker. Baker was a walk-on freshman, started the first, I believe he's the first ever Power 5 conference quarterback to play as a walk-on true freshman. And won a lot of games at Texas Tech early on before he got hurt. And then, you know, transferred to Oklahoma, where he goes on to win the Heisman Trophy and do some incredible things. So nothing but absolute respect for the dude. And I'm sure that chip on his shoulder that he proudly wears had a ton to do with that. So that's a real tough one from an agent standpoint. It's a lot like Johnny in that sense. And again, I don't want to compare two guys, but it's like, you want him to be himself because that's what makes him great. But it's also his biggest detriment. And he's got to understand that, man. I'll tell you, I sit back and cringe. I caveated all that to say, I think Baker's going to be the one that really falls tonight on draft night. And I hate to say that because I think he's, you know, a good kid and he deserves to be drafted high like all these other guys do. But I just think when you look at the whole thing, I mean, Sports Illustrated, he does a thing. He didn't even get paid for that. And I just sit back and I read this deal last week and I cringe. And he did Sports Illustrated last week and he's talking about, I didn't prepare with the Chargers, and yeah, because I'm not going to be there on the board. And I just flashbacks, and I'm like, dude, first of all, you can never say that. And sure enough, I think yesterday the GM of the Chargers snapped back in a real little way. And don't think every GM in the NFL is in their office right now on lockdown, reading and looking at everything. And even on draft day, maybe haven't made their minds up when you're in that third, fourth, fifth pick. And there's just red flags there. He's doing a docuseries before the draft. All due respect, I get it. Johnny and I talked about it. But it's like, I just think, man, I'm sitting back cringing. I feel like he's made a few missteps in the process that at the same time, that's what Baker wants to do. And he is the boss. He needs to ultimately make those decisions and call the shots. But I do feel like, and I don't want to question what's going on with him or his team, because I'm not in the know there. I did not recruit him. But I think he's going to be the one that drops on draft day a little bit. I mean, the size comes into play, that in of itself, the, you know, and then just kind of some of the off the field stuff. I mean, it's difficult. So look, I'll be honest with you, and you never know what you hear, but I also know that he's the one that everybody loves in the media right now. And I know how this thing works. I'm sitting here with the top five guy myself, and GMs go real silent. And you can read between the tea leaves on little texts and things that are sent, and you're picking up things that happen in free agency and what they've done in the past and what their draft history is. But I just think with him, he's what the guy everybody loves. And I think that's a big red flag too, that I would be concerned of if I was his agent right now. Oh, he's the guy the Jets love at three. He's the guy this team loves at five. To me, that's the team smokescreening him a little bit. And I just hope the kid's prepared.
That's how we got used. You definitely called it out. Like, teams leveraged and used me. Yeah, teams leveraged and like used. Hey, we really like this guy. Like, we think he'd be a really good fit for us to try and get other teams to trade up. Like, if they were going to go beyond their means to try and come up and get me. But Jacksonville was a team that was like, you know, we really like him. Third pick comes up, they pick Bortles, and then EB kind of text somebody in the organization like after, like, what the fuck? And there was pretty much just like, no, we use you to make sure our guy would be there at three. That's kind of how it goes.
I see that, and you can feel it too. I just have that sense. Remember, we checked into the hotel in New York. This is a great story, Casey. And Bortles' crew, I know Bortles' agent well, really good guys, and we had kind of talked shop about what we're hearing, what we're feeling. We both want, if the other guy's going to go, you want him to go as early as possible. And, you know, because we were kind of the 1-2 quarterback, even though, you know, I really like Carr personally. He's obviously proven to be a great player. And we check in, and Bortles' agent literally had
humble brag.
We check in.
Yeah, no bragging there, and, right? But it's okay. It's okay. I did it earlier, too. It's fine. You get a pass.
Humble brag. Oh, I really like Garoppolo.
How about this, though? Yeah. You'll let this. Bortles didn't know either. And I know, talking to Dave Caldwell since, the Jacksonville Jaguars GM, he didn't tell anybody in that organization except, like, the owners, I believe, like, the day before or the morning of. We check into our hotel, Casey, in New York City, where all 30 draft guys are. The room right next to us is loud, and Johnny and I, it's Blake Bortles in the room with his girlfriend and his agent. True story. And we're like, whoa, what's going on? And I hear his agent. And then Blake Bortles' girlfriend just starts talking shit about Johnny. Like, literally,
oh,
we're
God.
Listening. And Johnny's just over there laughing, like, whatever, dude, don't listen to that. I'm like, no, I want to hear this shit. His agent's over there going, okay, we have no idea what's going to happen. I think Jacksonville really likes Manziel, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, oh, Jacksonville really likes us. And we're worried about the same thing. So it's just, you never really know. And these GMs do a really good job of kind of keeping that on lock and key.
EB left the whole point out where he's like standing up on a chair, like through the vent with a cup to his ear.
I'm like, oh, his girlfriend's really going in right now. Okay.
The question now is, though, when you look at these guys tonight, Johnny, if you had to, I know you mentioned Sam Darnold, you mentioned all these guys, but if you had to put money on it, which you're not, but if you had to, who do you think is the first quarterback off the board?
I think Darnold will be the first quarterback off the board, whether whatever it is. Like, I think from everything I've heard from the people who have trained both Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, the people that were in that camp, I've heard that that Darnold will be the guy. That's my guess. So we'll see. You know, I know Dorsey was the GM of the Browns, was in Kansas City whenever we were coming out. He kind of, I feel like what I've heard, if he gets like stuck on one guy, like he likes his one guy in the class, that is what it is. And you can't really get him off that a little bit. What do you think, EB?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it'll be Darnold. And I think, wow, look at Johnny. I feel like it's a very mature thing. It's more of a full circle thing with Darnold. I just think the vibes you get, all these guys are developmental. And that's why I think the mainstream media and the fans, it's like, oh, we want that guy. He's ready to go in and make a Pro Bowl. But Johnny knows better than anybody. Like, you've got to really develop. Like, I've got other starting quarterbacks in the league, and it's really about the guy who's going to put in the time and really want to be that dude. And I've never met Sam Darnold, didn't recruit him, but he just comes across as very Cleveland, very safe. He's going to work his ass off. Like they've already said, Tyrod Taylor is going to be their starter in Cleveland next year. And my thing is, my guy Bradley Chubb, I don't know, and I haven't heard it on great authority, but I don't think he's out of play at number one right now. Everybody's just talking quarterback, but I think they are seriously considering Bradley Chubb at number one, and they better take him one because he won't be there at four if they want him. Because, man, I'm looking at Tyrod Taylor. They just gave up a second-round pick for Tyrod Taylor. He's made the Pro Bowl. He's still young. There's nothing any quarterback in this draft can do better than Tyrod Taylor. Nothing. He led the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs last year.
Tyrod Taylor did.
He's their starting quarterback. The Buffalo Bills, and he's now in Cleveland. They gave a pick away for him. Last time Dorsey did that, it was Alex Smith, and he was their starter for 5 years. I like Tyrod. I mean, Tyrod threw 4 picks last year in 15 games in the NFL. He doesn't turn the ball over. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He's going to be the starter next year. So are you really going to take a kid with the number one overall pick and hope in 2 years from now he can beat out Tyrod Taylor? I think that's a big stretch. Who do you think Tyrod Taylor's leading receiver was for the Buffalo Bills last year, Johnny? He had no weapons and took that team to the playoffs. Like, respect to that. It was, by the way, it was an H-back. It was, first of all, Shady McCoy. And after that was an H-back, Charles Clay, who's like a hybrid fullback tight end. He had 49.
He's a beast. He's a beast.
After that, some dude, Deontay Thompson, caught 27 balls for the Buffalo Bills. Him and Zay Jones both caught 27 balls. That's 1.5 catches a game, and that dude leads him to the playoffs with a defensive head coach. I think Tyrod Taylor is a really, really good player, and I think the Browns could go a different direction with the number one overall pick. I really do.
I like Saquon early in the draft. I think somebody, whoever gets him, gets a steal with that, because I look at what the last 2 years, 3 years, what Gurley, what Zeke, and what Leonard Fournette have done for their teams as being like high round picks. What they've done to the run game, like for their respective teams, has been unbelievable. The games whenever I did play and we got a chance and we run the ball for over 100 yards, the way that it makes everything else so much easier in the pass game and so much easier as far as like running the offense as a whole, it is unbelievable. If you get a guy that can do special things on his own, even when you don't block people, it changes the entire course of the game. All it takes is one or two plays. You rush for over 100 yards in a game, your play action game opens up, your passing game. Once you get down and you just start having to drop back and throw it every time, that's when these DNs, these guys like Chubb, the guys like the Miles Garrett, like these young like guys, what they're paid to do, literally you get to pin their ears back and run as fast as possible up the field. And it's so hard when they know you're going to throw it. You get no like anybody to come up on the defense. Like it's so, so hard to throw the ball when you can't run the ball. So I think running back and whoever gets Saquon will, I think he has the potential to do like what Zeke, like what Fournette have done for their teams and turn somebody around.
Yeah, you mentioned
but jumping
Zeke.
On, man. I agree with what Johnny's saying. Like a running back is very important in the game, but like I'm going to throw out some other names that show, first of all, this is a very deep running back class. And this is why Bradley Chubb will go ahead of Saquon Barkley. Not because Barkley's not a good player, but the value of the position is very, very real. This is a very deep running back class. You know who the two offensive rookies of the year last year in the NFL? It was Alvin Kamara, third-round running back, and Kareem Hunt, third-round running back. You can get that dude in the third round. Shady McCoy, second-round pick. Le'Veon Bell, second-round pick. Devontae Freeman, fourth-round pick. Derrick Henry, second-round pick. Jay Ajayi, fifth-round pick. I can go on and on and on, including the last year's rookies of the year. I can find that dude in the second, third round. And maybe he's not Saquon Barkley today, but Jordan Howard's the best running back in his class. Like, and he's a fifth round pick. Like, I'm not passing on a guy like Bradley Chubb. And obviously, I'm biased, but like, you don't pass on a DNs that are in this league. The 10th highest paid DNs making $17 million.
Well, when
the highest paid running back is $8 million.
And when you look at Bradley Chubb this year, I mean, the class for defensive players is not great anyways, but he is so elite in comparison. And I know you guys kind of make bets with each other of where you think your guys are going to go. With Bradley Chubb, where do you guys think he is going to go? I mean, you're saying potentially number one?
Do you, Eric, think that you want to bet dinner that Saquon goes before Chubb?
Done. Deal. Yes.
Dinner where? I got to know dinner where. I mean, are we talking like...
He calls it.
Oh, we're talking Mastro's butter cake and $80 steak.
Chicken Sam's. Oh, 100%. Lobster Mac, all of it. All of it.
More fake than.
Do you guys bet on more than one player, or is it just the Bradley Chubb game this year?
How many quarterbacks in the first round, EB?
Ultimately, I'm going to go four, and one of them is Lamar Jackson. I'm going to go Arnold, Rosen, Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
Johnny, you going to agree with that, or are you going to? I mean, you can't because we're betting dinner here.
That was what I was going to say. I almost said four before Eric opened his fat head, but I guess I say teams reach. Then I guess I say all. Oh, there's no way five are coming off the board. I got to call it three then. If you're taking four,
who do you think falls out of the first round along with Baker? I'm putting you on the spot here now.
Say that. No, I can't. I mean, it's just impossible. I said three, but there's no way I can say that. I have to go high, EB. I have to say five go off because I don't see
five quarterbacks.
Dude, I don't see Darnold join in the first round. I say Rosen goes in the first round. I think Rosen's the guy they like at number three. Rosen or Allen is going to go number three.
I agree.
Allen, I think, goes.
I agree.
After that, if I say three, that means I'm saying Baker and Lamar both don't go in the first round, which I don't think is going to happen. I'm not going to say four, the same number that you do, so I have to say five. I think a team like you have Cleveland, you have New York, both New York.
Somebody's
saying the Giants could take a quarterback, but I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. So I think it's Cleveland. Realistically, I guess if their guy is there, you have a chance to get both New York. So that's three teams in the top three. And then they're saying rumblings about Denver.
New York,
and what about
Giants
Miami?
Aren't taking a quarterback.
That's what
about
I think
Denver
too.
And the $40 million they just gave my guy Case Keenum?
I agree with that. But what about Miami too? Miami, we know that situation there. They're betting quarterbacks. What about New Orleans? What about New England?
What about the second round? What about Derek Carr's a second round pick? What about, I mean, like, it's not just a first round draft. You can get other good starters. Now, here's why Johnny could be right this year, because it doesn't appear to me to be super deep. When you start looking at, you can normally name the top three O linemen. It's like, okay, they're gone in the top 10. I mean, who's the top offensive tackle in this draft class? I mean, that's interesting, right? After Chubb, it is a huge fall off on DN.
Defensively in general. I mean, there's like the big names, but defensively in general, this is a weaker draft class, I would say, than the offense for sure, because there's so many quarterbacks. That's why I think Johnny would be more correct here. I think it's going to be four because I think Baker might fall out just solely because of the off-the-field stuff. But you look at teams that are going to reach for these guys because they're all so different and they're all so hyped right now. And I understand a lot of that's media, but I mean, there's more than five guys that have been hyped up all year.
Over under on my guy Christian Kirk. Over under pick 45. Is that fair?
You gotta go the under. Yeah, I was gonna say you gotta go the under on that.
I don't
40.
Man,
40.
I love that
40.
Kid, and I'll still say under. Man, I think it's that last 5 to 7 picks. I think he's 25 to 38 ish. I mean, the kid's a beast. Be a really good player. Again, you look at wideout. Who's the top wideout? I mean, you got the Maryland kid, DJ Moore. You've got the big
Calvin,
kid from SMU.
Calvin Ridley, the kid from SMU.
Calvin Ridley from Bama. So I think it's those four, the guys that most people are talking about. All good players. You know, Moore is a lot like Christian Kirk, and he's got a lot of momentum right now. Pretty explosive kid. So if Kirk can go ahead of Moore, I think he goes in the first. Yeah, he's all right. I think he's all right.
Anthony Miller, he's a beast. He can play. But nevertheless, we need Christian Kirk to go in the first round simply to keep the A&M first-rounder streak alive.
There you go.
I think it'll be maybe eight years in a row with the first-round pick if Kirk sneaks in. So pulling for that.
Yeah, Eric, you're doing this podcast with two Aggies. How does that make you feel?
Hey, you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. I can deal with it. I can deal with Johnny.
Mr. Guns,
I got
himself.
Aggie Nation on my back.
Johnny, when you talk to Christian Kirk, because I know you guys were recently in College Station together, I mean, what's your advice to him right now going into tonight, knowing how big of a deal it is for him?
Yeah, he's got a great head on his shoulders. Like, Christian has always been a solid guy from the day that he's walked on the campus. Like, he's never got lost in the shuffle of all the bullshit, and I don't think that's changed right now. You know, I hope somebody comes in and takes him in the first round. Like I said, I think he'll be able to handle this, you know, really nicely. Like, he doesn't have any problems like that. This is a big day for him. I hope he enjoys it. Like, don't let the fucking worry of where you're going to go and the whole shuffle and everything that goes on, like, get to you, because then you look back and you look back at it and it's all a little bit of a blur and you didn't get a really a chance to enjoy it. So for me, I definitely wish I would have a little bit just sat back and kind of enjoyed it rather than, you know, it is, I mean, I guess it's not really all that big a deal. It's just your entire life and your job for the next 4 years and where you're going to live and where your family's going to come visit you and everything. So I guess it's not like that big a deal, but just try the best you can to enjoy it. You know, I think I enjoyed mine a little bit too much, especially afterwards. Like, I didn't realize that, you know, you go out the night after the draft and then you turn around and at 6:30 in the morning, there's cars sitting outside your hotel and you get shipped away to wherever you're going and you do a press conference and then you turn around, fly back home. You have one day to pack your shit and then you come straight back. Like, I went to Cleveland, stayed at Maverick's house for one day, turned, flew straight back to Shreveport, went to my family's house in Longview, packed everything that I had, went to a FedEx, shipped it up to Cleveland, then hopped right back on the first flight the next morning at 7 a.m. and went back. And then you start everything, and it doesn't slow down. Toss you a playbook. They say, here you go, rookie mini camps in 2 weeks. Like, boom, have fun. This is what it is. Learn your shit, sink or swim. Your time to figure it out. So tonight, draft night, enjoy it. And if you do invite Prez to your party, make sure he's on the list.
Yeah, I've got to hear that story really quick. I know you need to go, but how the hell did Dave Portnoy not get into the draft party?
It goes a little bit with, like, I was the draft party, like, oh, we're going to New York. We got to make sure we have everything right. Like, I have so many people coming, right? And I would always talk to Maverick about it and be like, yo, are we good for the draft party? And he's like, yeah, dude. He would look at me and just be like, don't even worry about it. Why do you keep asking me about that for the 20th time this week? I'm like, because I've never been out in New York. I want to turn up. Like, what do you mean? And just throughout, like, first of all, we went 22. We didn't get out of, like, the green room and through the interviews and, like, everything until way later. By the time we got, like, ready to go out, it was probably almost, like, 12:30 or like 1 o'clock, maybe even later than that. I remember maybe getting there even like 1:30. And I really, like, until 5 or 6 in the morning, I didn't even get a chance to, like, check my phone, like, at all. So if, like, you weren't on the list, like, prior, like, there was no way I'd even looked at my phone, as everything was so crazy. And I can't imagine. I had ex-girlfriends from high school that were, like, hitting me up, like, congratulations, you got drafted. So you only could think about the people that were in between that I've ran into one time that were saying, like, congrats. So I look at my phone the next day and I'm just like, fuck, I forgot about Prez. And I see my whole phone like, oh, you fucking scumbag, you motherfucker. And
it keeps him grounded, though, you know, right? Like, it kept him grounded.
I felt bad about it for sure. When I was in college, I read Barstool every day. Like, I literally refreshed, read every story of every day, and it was like what got me through my day of class and everything. And now, you know, I think it worked out. I think me shunning him on the draft day made him grind harder, and now he has built a little empire. So I think I'm solely like almost solely responsible for Barstool's success.
So it's the house that Johnny built. So basically you should have majority of ownership is what you're saying.
I'll be cool with a couple of t-shirts, but yeah, something along those lines is what you don't always get what you're worth, but no, at the end of the day, you know, I instilled that value of him to grind a little harder. So, you know, we did get a chance, I guess Lamar's Heisman year to go out. We took some pretty funny pictures. We had a really good time. So we've had some fun since then. And I'm sure we'll have some more times down the road.
I mean, this comes full circle, guys. It's really a great story in the making, all because Prez couldn't get into a club in New York City.
Yeah, our bond grew stronger as he sat outside in the cold.
And he's probably never forgotten it, by the way. I like it. I dig it. I get to ride the coattails, so I'm excited about it.
All right, guys. Well, enjoyed it. Yeah. Coming to you live from Eric's neighbor's house. Well, until you get better Wi-Fi, Eric, we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. Thanks so much.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. Bye.